Turning to our excerpt from Margaret Cheney's Tesla, Man Out of Time. This is chapter 15. We're continuing Magnificent and Doomed. The Century article with its photographs and predictions thrust Nikola even further into the center of controversy. But though his scientific colleagues sniped, the press remained generally loyal. Quote, "The press at large of late has been having a good deal of fun with Nikola Tesla." This is quoting from an article in the Pittsburgh Dispatch of February 23rd, 1901. "The press at large has of late been having a good deal of fun with Nikola Tesla and his predictions of what is to be done in the future by means of electricity," wrote the Pittsburgh Dispatch from Westinghouse Country. Continuing, "Some of his sanguine conceptions, including the transmissions of signals to Mars, have evoked the opinion that it would be better for Mr. Tesla to predict less and do more in the line of performance. Nevertheless, a recent decision in the U.S. Circuit Court of the Southern District of Ohio fully recalls the fact that Tesla is by no means without the record of complete and thorough achievement. Mr. Tesla has a wealth of enthusiasm and fertility of imagination with regard to the future that naturally evokes witticisms. But anyone is ignorant of the recent history of electricity who does not know that Tesla stands in the front rank of electrical inventors by what he has actually accomplished," unquote. From the electrical engineering, continuing with Margaret Cheney, from the electrical engineering editor Thomas Comer Ford Martin, came eloquent support. "Mr. Tesla has been held a visionary, deceived by the flash of casual shooting stars, but the growing conviction of his professional brethren is that because he saw farther, he saw first the low lights flickering on tangible new continents of science." And that's unquote from Mr. Martin. Continuing with Margaret. "Publicity, whether good or bad, was precisely what Tesla wanted, for he still desperately needed to attract the attention of potential backers. One of the first, though not necessarily most important, to step forward was Stanford White, the celebrated architect. The two men met one evening at the Players Club, which White had just remodeled, and, feeling an immediate rapport, soon fell into an intense conversation. White had read and been excited by Tesla's vision of the future as painted for Century magazine. When the inventor began to describe the physical plant that he envisioned for his world broadcasting system, the architect became an eager partner in the grand plan. Nor was this grand plan a mere fantasy. Even while Tesla had still been in Colorado, oscillators and other equipment were being assembled in his New York shop under the close direction of Scherf and an engineering assistant. Security was tight, as usual. Immediately upon his return, he got in touch with George Westinghouse. Can I get a collective groan out there, please? Continuing, knowing that his engineers, George Westinghouse's, could supply the custom-built machinery he would need. And my comment, again. So we see how the economy scam works. When nothing can get done without them, the ones who intend to be in charge ad infinitum, we're screwed, right? So what's our move? I suspect a variant on this answer. Render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. We're going to continue exploring this concept during our May 15, 2016 show. I suggested that Proudhon, as described by Kropotkin here, has a strategy very, very similar to this. Quoting Kropotkin, he favored an approach that he called mutualisme. Under such a system, all the exchanges of services would be strictly equivalent. Besides, such a bank would be enabled to lend money without interest, levying only something like 1% or even less. You see my point. We need to be able to get things done without going through power. Nikola had to go through power. That's a recipe for getting nowhere but back into our chains. Continuing, his Colorado experiments, Nikola wrote Westinghouse, absolutely demonstrated the practicability of establishing telegraphic communication to any point on the globe. By the help, he says, of the machinery I have perfected. He would need an engine and a direct current dynamo of at least 300 horsepower on either side of the Atlantic, and these would be expensive. You will know, of course, Nikola confided, that I contemplate the establishment of such a communication merely as the first step to further and more important work, namely that of transmitting power. But as the latter will be an undertaking on a much larger and more expensive scale, I'm compelled to first demonstrate such feature to get the confidence of capital, said Nikola. He also requested that Westinghouse lend him $6,000 to be guaranteed by his English royalties. The industrialist invited Tesla to ride with him on the train from New York to Pittsburgh in his private palace car to talk the matter over. And that's unquote from Margaret Cheney's Tesla, Man Out of Time, Chapter 15, Magnificent and Doomed. Let's not continue to repeat the same errors generation after generation.